Your ass better call somebody.
When you pull back the curtain, look under the hood.
You gotta give it that fuck good. Spent all that night here.
I'm like, I'm good. Like, I'm out.
I just came for the boobies.
Hey, what's poppin', everybody?
You're Mr. Feel Good. I'm Mr. Shit on Everyone's Hopes and Dreams.
I want to thank me for believing in me.
Often imitated, never replicated.
It's the balance of life, my friend.
I'd like to take this time to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Don't fuck this up. Count on you.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back into the 40 Chess Dynasty Football Podcast. We are so glad you are here. Hope everyone's doing well. It's Combine Week. My best buddy, Maddie. What's going on, Maddie? You ready for some underwear Olympics, I think people like to call it?
Oh, it is the premier hand size measurement underwear Olympic season. And I'm pretty excited for it, like I am every year.
We got some interesting ones. We also got the classic... Damn, this dude ain't gonna do shit at the combine news, which makes you sad. I haven't caught up fully. Just gotten some nuggets, so I don't know officially who's doing shit and who ain't doing shit. Just so the audience knows, Shedeur Sanders not throwing. That was kind of a point of contention for a lot of people. I see some people who wear New Balance and probably have goatees complain that he didn't do anything at the Shrine Bowl and he's not doing anything at the combine and he's a diva. I think I've seen that one. It's pretty much a starter kit, right? Like, if I click on their profile pic, I'm like, yeah, that's what I expected you to look like. That's what I expected you to look like. You'd like to see him throw at the combine, wouldn't you? Like, that'd be fun to see him go out there and compete. But really, what are you going to take away from it at the end of the day? You're throwing to receivers who don't know you. You don't have the timing down. None of that shit. Like, if you're already locked in as a certain pick, you know, top 10, top 5, whatever the hell NFL teams have been telling you, why? What's the point? Go out there and hurt your draft stock, look terrible, tank potential money. Like, motherfucker, if I'm in that position, I ain't doing it either. Like, I ain't going out there doing it. You want me to risk millions? Fuck you. No chance.
Yeah, in Shedeur Sanders' case specifically too, he went to the Shrine Bowl, met with teams, and then didn't practice. Now he's in Indianapolis, meeting with teams, doing medicals, and he's not going to practice. Sounds to me, Mike, like he's got some good intel that he doesn't need to practice for certain teams. That the teams that he is going to be selected are probably in the top 6, 7, right? So, I mean, why go out there and throw when no one helps their draft stock. I mean, look at last year. Daniels didn't throw. Caleb didn't throw. Drake May didn't throw. Knicks threw, Penix threw, and J.J. McCarthy threw. Mm-hmm. It was there last year, Mike. They didn't wow anybody, and they still all were taking in the first 12 picks. These guys, this is their job, and they're getting advice from agents. Shador's getting it from Primetime. You ever heard of him? Deion Sanders? I would imagine he's getting pretty decent advice from Pops and everyone around him. Would you like to see him throw? We would, because we want to be entertained. We want to scout. But if you're scouting or paying scouts to do it for you, like the NFL franchise are, you just don't need to see these guys perform. I will say this now, in kind of pivoting to the other side of the coin, Ashton Jeanty, last time I had saw, is not going to test.
Correct.
This could be a bad business decision on his part, because we're already seeing the drum roll, the drum beat, the hype train, that this might be 4 running backs in terms of elite potential top 40 pick type players. Now we saw Mel Kiper mock Marion Hampton going 12th overall. That, of course, is Jeanty going 6th overall. But I got my mock 2.0 dropping that you can find that at southharmonff.com. I got 3 first round running backs. So I think Ginty probably would have benefited from trying to distance himself. But again, what he put on wax last year, the metrics are there. The tape is there. Does he really need to go run a 4.55 and have people tell him he's not good at running back? Fuck off. He's going to be fine. He's going to be a first round pick. So it's a lot. It's usually much ado about nothing. But let me ask you this, Mike. Do you like to, or do you find that it's kind of gives you opportunity here in our dynasty leagues to capitalize on some of the fish in our leagues?
Yeah, there's definitely that opportunity. I'll say this specifically about the Ginty thing. I get the decision to not work out at the combine, right? Like, let me put it on my film, right? Let me put it on my film. Either you like me or you don't. Similar to kind of the Shadur thing, I think what the most interesting thing and the biggest differentiator between the Shadur situation and the Ginty situation is when you talk about quarterbacks, really there's only 3 guys. And, you know, in some people's minds, there's only 2, and there may not be any, you know, like quarterbacks who are elite at the top. Shadur obviously has some pretty good information, it would seem, that he doesn't have to do anything. So I get it. I get it. Like, his draft capital is pretty solidified. Genty's only, my only knock against Ginty not working out, besides being selfish and wanting to see actually what he runs, right? We can do the whole, look at him break away on this long run. Like, he's got enough speed, and I think people are probably right on it, but I'm also watching it against future insurance salesmen, you know, in the Mountain West Conference at times. So I don't,
Blue Mickey Mouse Field.
Yeah, I don't really know. I don't really know for sure. The biggest problem I have is, like you hinted on it, there's a lot of people out there in the NFL draft circle that do like Caleb Johnson or do like Omarion Hampton or are really high on Travion Henderson. It really kicks open the door for one of those guys or multiple of those guys to go out and perform at the combine. You know, for example, what if Travion does come out and he runs in the 4.3s and he kills it in the jumps, right? And he looks fluid in the drills. Are we talking about the potential of him unseating Ashton Ginty in NFL team's mind as the number one running back off the board? I think that would be a real strong case. You know, what if Caleb Johnson or Omarion Hampton does go out and they're 230 plus pounds and they come in at a low 4.4, you know, or they even crack 4.4 and they go 4.3. Like, at that size and speed and combo, there's going to be a lot of other NFL teams that are interested. So it really opens the door for that gap between RB1 and what we already assume is, okay, everybody else is in the next tier, right? Like, they're all fighting for second place. Maybe not. Maybe not, which is a perfect segue into capitalizing on that kind of thing in Dynasty, right? It really is. If you have one of these picks or you've already taken a startup player, like we've had some startup drafts where the rookie players have already been selected in the startup draft and you have one of these guys, you got a Caleb Johnson or you got an Omarion Hampton or a Travion Henderson and they go kill it at the combine, you would be a fool to not put them on the block. It'd be like, hey, I paid a 4th round, a 5th round, a 6th round startup, whatever the hell you ended up paying for them. Anybody like really consider it? Like, do they have them as RB1 over Ginty right now? Like, do they feel good with all the buzz going out? Let me go see what I can capitalize on this. So a lot of people are going to make wild assumptions and swings in their process just based on the combine. And I think it's really just one extra tool in our tool belt at the end of the day. I think it's one more data point. Let's check this off. Yes, this guy on film looks fast. Combine confirmed is fast.
That's
combine
right.
Confirmed is fast. It's counterintuitive sometimes because it really feels like we get a lot of people white knighting for prospects that perform very terrible at the combine. And then their film was also kind of suspect. Like they had moments. I think back to this, I was guilty of this last year and I still like this player and I'll still white knight for him. But you have to be realistic about the actual value of him at some point in your realistic rankings, and that was Keon Coleman. Did he show moments on the field of looking competent enough and being fast enough to play wide receiver at the NFL level? Yeah. Then he goes out and he runs what he runs, and you're like, oh, shit. Like, you were hoping for a little bit better, and you go, okay, maybe there is another tool in my tool belt now that I go, I should probably reevaluate him. So if you still went into it going like, man, Keon Coleman's my, you know, a top 4 wide receiver or top 3 wide receiver after the combine performance, you go, Maybe 5, 6, 7, somewhere in that range is more applicable.
Right.
And I think people need to be more realistic with it. In the same sense, too, we also see guys who go out and perform really well at the combine, and there's nothing else in their profile that really backs up what they did at the combine, right? We see this all the time. And it's usually at wide receiver. I think we're a lot smarter than this now, where you have this wide receiver prospect like John Ross, et cetera, who is a super late breakout. It's a one-year wonder in production, goes out and blazes at the combine. Now, the overall process still would have been kind of correct with him because he got the first-round draft capital. He got the first-round NFL draft capital. But there was enough red flags outside of that that the combine performance shouldn't really have elevated him as much as they did in some people's right. minds. Right? Like, it's kind of a give and take. I think there's too much negative emphasis put on the combine, but there's also way too much positive emphasis put on the combine. And I don't think we as a dynasty community have really figured out the proper balance yet. Like, we haven't become more like Bruce Lee says, you know, being water and just kind of going with the flow, right? And not getting too high or too low. So it's a very interesting time, and I always love it because we're going to get some wild assumptions. And today was a lot of GMs giving interviews and wild assumptions being made off of what these fucking guys are saying, which you think they're actually going to tell you the whole truth. Right. Like, we get like one or two a year where you're like, ah, point back to the combine. When he said this, he followed through.
That's
Go
right.
look at all the other ones and tell me how many ones of those actually came true. A lot of guys are just full of shit. They're just out there telling you what you want to hear. They're doing media interviews. They don't fucking like to do them. Most of them don't like to do them. They don't even want to be up there. They're like, I got other shit to do, but the NFL says I got to do this shit and I got to get in front of you and give you some sound bites. So here we are. Like, the one I saw today is, the Browns don't want to trade Myles Garrett. No
right.
shit.
Right.
You got one of the best defensive players in the league. You don't want to trade him. But then we're going to look in like a month and Myles Garrett's traded to Philadelphia. Let me speak that into existence.
Yeah.
Like, it just happened because Philly gave him a great offer and Myles didn't want to play there no more. Like, it, right. We don't want to trade him. No shit. Right? I don't want to be fat, but I am.
It's a good point that you bring up, and I think we can learn more from the technical responses, because then it's not really lying, it's just kind of talking about opinion. But when you have Jonathan Gannon talking about how Trey Benson and James Conner are going to be 1A and 1AA, it's like, really? I don't think so. The extended James Conner, I don't know if Trey Benson is going to usurp him. But again, there's no point to Jonathan Gannon, the head coach, being like, yeah, we extended James Conner because we trust him. We don't trust Trey Benson. You don't do that. Just like the Rams are saying they feel confident that they could start Jimmy Garoppolo if they move on from Stafford. No, they sure as fuck do not want to start Jimmy Garoppolo, but there's no need to tell the truth. So I think really now is a good time to just be active in your leagues, because like you said, we got to be like water. You can't pigeonhole yourself one way or another. But, you know, you hear Jonathan Gannon talking about James Conner, Trey Benson, maybe both being weapons from their running game. Go ask what James Conner owner wants, because if the price is elevated, well then, you know, to let that thing go. But could you get him for a third? And you're like, all right, why not? It's a little bit of value bump. See where you can find the values. You might be able to find things every which way. The one thing I gotta preach, is the TLC. You gotta be like TLC. You cannot go chase waterfalls.
Ooh.
You can't pretend.
Is that the song for tonight already? Just right off the rip?
Great call. It's 100% going to be TLC. Great song. But you can't do that in Dynasty right now, because I think where the biggest errors are made are when teams are out there predicting the future, expecting, you know, right now the hot talk on the town's Luther Burns on a first round pick. We'll see. It feels a lot that seems pretty far away than what the reports were. You know, earlier in the process. So don't go chasing the waterfalls. Stick to those rivers and the lakes that you're used to. We know it's going to be a good running back class. We weren't expecting a ton of pop at wide receiver. So don't all of a sudden pretend like you know something that no one else knows in the NFL. So stick to what it is. And if you have, you know, let's say, let's call it, you have a smattering of good picks, the 105, 108, 201, 206. You have this nice little grouping of picks. Don't go pushing them in one direction. You know, we said, you know, pile up or push up. But I'm saying if you're going to push up, I'd much rather take a couple of little seconds, a late first. Give me two top five picks, that flexibility to come away with a running back in one of these quarterbacks. Because, again, as much as things change, they end up being the same. And if we're talking about the dynasty landscape post-NFL draft, we're probably looking at two top 10 quarterbacks, two early first-round tight ends, six or seven running backs selected in the first 75 picks. Like, we're going to end up where we started. So don't try to predict the future. But check in on all these value opportunities. If everyone, Mel Kiper, everyone's telling you that, oh, man, I don't think Ginty's the running back one, maybe you could push up and move your 105 to the 102, only using an early second, if that's the case. Or if you have just the 101 and nothing after it, your next pick's in the third, and all of a sudden the hype is building around Ginty because maybe these guys don't run as fast, maybe that's when you move back and get a whole smattering. So you just got to find the value. Don't expect to predict it, but find it.
You do. There's a lot of times in Dynasty over the course of a season we see wild swings and wild changes in value. And I'll say this, a lot of them that we make fun of, here's a prime case, right? The season's over. The fantasy season's over. We're in the playoffs a couple years ago. Gabe Davis goes for four touchdowns and 200, whatever the fuck he went for, right? That ridiculous game.
200 yards and four tutties, I think.
Whatever the fuck he does, right? And you know the minute you go to any one of your dynasty leagues, whoever the fuck had Gabe Davis is putting him on the trade block, right?
Instantaneously.
We make fun of that, and we kind of make it a meme, right? Like, you know that's going to happen. If you're watching a game, somebody goes the fuck off, you go to a league, they're probably just got put on the trade block, right? Mm-hmm. Like, gotta sell high, right? That was a value bump or an artificial value bump based on one meaningless game for fantasy, right? But it was actual NFL football being played. It was an actual meaningful NFL game being played and a meaningful performance in that game. And we make fun of it. We're about to see these people who have their pre-combine superflex ranks out right now make wild swings based on how fast or how high some guy jumps. Or how well they threw at the combine, or what the big wigs in the space are saying about what they're hearing NFL teams are going to get, right? We're going to make wild assumptions and change massive ranks, and there's going to be value drops and value gains all over the place for next to nothing. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of wild shit that pisses me off the most, right? In my personal process when I do it, I put out my pre-combine ranks, and I fully expect that I will adjust them over the next couple weeks as I kind of take all the information in, as I continue the process. And it's one more checkbox, right? Like one more, okay, yep, guy looked fast, he ran fast, check. All right, we're good. Guy looked fast, ran slow, what the fuck happened? Let me dig in on why he ran slow. Was he hurt? Is he just not that fast in shorts? Like, is he game speed? Do I have actual mile per hour data that I can go back to? Is he just a gamer? Is he just a baller on the field? Something in my process needs to be questioning why I have them ranked here and why this data either A, matches up, or B, does not match up, and then adjust. But we are going to see people who have a prospect ranked as 103 right now. 103. This is my 103. I'll take him right now. First off, too, that's also usually bullshit. I just want to put people onto a little bit of game, all right? I don't want to sound like the old, fat, bitter dynasty analyst at this point. But I'm here to tell you that 99% of the people in this space, and Maddie can attest to this, are full of shit. Mm. And legitimately full of shit. For multiple reasons. One, they will put out hot takes for engagement, which, right or wrong, how it is, that's how you make a name for yourself in this space. That's how you get 60,000 followers, 100,000 followers, 30,000 subscribers on YouTube. Sometimes you have to play the fucking game. Sometimes you have to play that fucking game. And I'm not going to knock them for it. So there will be the engagement tweets, right? The ones that I know for a fact this motherfucker doesn't believe what he just said. Like, there is no way. There will also be the people who put out a tweet based on dynasty value or an assumption or where they rank a prospect that also are just flat out lying to you, right? If you put their nuts on a table in a real money league, they would not do that. They would not take that guy at three. They would come up with 75 other fucking excuses about why, oh, well, I needed a running back in this case. Yeah. That's why I took the running back. You had the tight end at three, motherfucker. Why didn't you take the tight end at three? That's where you ranked him. Like, you said it wasn't close. It was a tear break for you. Like, what do you mean? And then you also have the people who just talk a game like they're a dynasty expert, like they play in all these leagues, and you come to find out it's two leagues. It's three leagues. They're basing assumptions off of home leagues or expert leagues. Mm-hmm. I put that in fucking air quotes really hard. Expert leagues that they play in. They have no real sense of what the dynasty market or dynasty game is. But they've gotten to this point based on engagement tweets, based on just being consistent. They have no actual dynasty value. And this is 99% of the dynasty analysts. And I would venture to say, if you go talk to somebody that you respect in the space who does it, they will tell you the exact same thing. It's a peek behind the curtain, but it doesn't get brought up enough. Like, there is nothing different than the people who are listening to this show right now, our avid listeners, and me at the end of the day. The only difference is I love playing fucking Dynasty just like they do. The only difference is I just so happen to have a fucking show where I get to come on here and say it. Now, the only reason I have a show is because once upon a time, Adam and I were like, fuck it, let's start a garage band. Let's go. Yeah. Let's get some mics and try to figure this shit out on how to do it. Mm-hmm. The people that stay and fuck with South Harmon and fuck with me and you and Adam and the rest of the South Harmon crew are because, hey, these guys give pretty sound advice. They're pretty level-headed. We also refuse to play this fucking game of engagement tweets. We refuse to play this game of giving you advice on shit that we would not follow through with ourselves, that we would not actually do. If I tell you I have Cam Ward right now as my number one player in my rookie ranks, you best believe if you go start a fucking fantasy league with me right now, a dynasty league, and we have the rookie draft, who am I going to take? Cam fucking Ward every time, right? And if it's not Cam Ward, then I have Cam Ward in the same tier as I have Ashton Jeanty, right? I might have him one or two, which when I rank them in tiers, I'm saying, listen, I usually prefer Cam Ward, but I can convince myself with my portfolio, which is another thing that I touched on, with my 60 fucking plus dynasty leagues I play in, that I want some exposure to Ashton Jeanty at that price. Like, I want some exposure maybe to Shedeur Sanders if I have him in the same tier. Like, I want to mix it up a little bit. But at the end of the day, you go look at my portfolio. If you did 100 fucking dynasty leagues with me with rookie drafts, and I had three players in tier one, and I had them ranked 1, 2, and 3, the guy who's at number one, I'm going to have the most exposure to. The guy who's at number two, I'm going to have the second most exposure to. And the guy at number three, I'm going to have the third most. It's following through with what you say and not playing this engagement game. So when we talk about these pre-combine rookie ranks, just know that if somebody puts this shit out there and they put Tyler Warren at 103 in a super flex tight end premium league, which they don't even list on their little engagement tweet, they're fucking full of shit.
Yeah.
They are absolutely full of shit. They want to put out some bad ranks where people like me are going to spend time going like, what the fuck is this? You're full of shit.
Did you see these?
Call them out. Why? Because if I quote tweet that or I reply to that tweet, what is that? That's fucking engagement. And their follower count goes up and their ability to get it out to the masses goes up. It's not what they're actually going to do. So then we get to the post-combine, and let's say Tyler Warren goes out and runs a 4.7. He's not all athletic. We go look at his RAS and he's like a 50, right? Like, just who gives a shit at that point? The buzz around Indianapolis is, man, Tyler Warren really disappointed at the combine. NFL teams aren't in as love with him as we thought they were. When that Tyler Warren drops out of his first round ranks immediately, you're like, bro, bro, like we knew it. Yep. We knew you were full of shit. Like, we knew you were full of shit. You put him at three because you felt convicted enough or you wanted the engagement, you wanted the hype. Look how much I love Tyler Warren. In a couple weeks, you may fucking hate him. They fucking hate him. Why? Because he went to the underwear Olympics and didn't do a good job. That tells me your process is bullshit. This is bullshit. Mm-hmm. There's my soapbox moment for the show, Maddie. I'm sorry. I had to get that one off my chest.
No, no. I'm glad you said that, because sometimes I think listeners of the show, what I want them to take away from, not just the dynasty talk, not just the strategy talk, not just like the player evals, but also like the caution, you know, like the where they could fall into these traps. And I'm going to hop on my soapbox and just kind of add to what you're saying, because this is also the peak of my new position number. Avoid that like the plague. If so, player X runs a certain, you know, track event this upcoming, you know, few days in Indianapolis, and that is going to bump you from your running back 10 to your running back 3. It's full of shit, because you know it's not going to happen. And it doesn't really, you don't have to really think that far back to remember. Look at last year, right? We came to the combine, and it was the big three. It was Odunze, it was Neighbors, it was Harrison. Brian Thomas runs well. Xavier Worthy breaks faces. And remember, Adonai Mitchell also melted faces at the combine. Like you mentioned, Keon Coleman didn't. So now all of a sudden, where you were having, you know, Coleman's my wide receiver 3. I think he's better than Odunze. Or, oh man, I'm not buying into this Brian Thomas speed. It's like, that seems reactionary. Proceed with caution, because then you look how it played out. It went to big 3, Brian Thomas, Xavier Worthy. Exactly how we were having it ranked in February. We didn't fall for all the ancillary things. You can't fall for this or that. And then another phrase, stay away from this analysis. Anything that is by a mile or not even close. That is not advice. When someone says, oh, I don't know, running back X just ran this 40. He is now in my tier 2 and it's not even close. It's like, it's always close, brother. It's always razor fucking close in this. Don't fall for that shit. That's, again, engagement farming. It's just rabble rousing. And it's just enough to do one of two things. Jar the market if they have a big enough name, or just get those quote tweets. Get that bickering in the comments. And just don't fall for it. Just kind of stick to your processes. Like we said, don't go chasing waterfalls after these combine numbers, because a lot that changes, it all ends up being the same more often than not.
I did see a good one today too, where somebody was talking about, you know, I hear everybody out there talking about this quarterback class is shit and blah blah blah, but we see, you know, 3 quarterbacks, you know, listed in the first round or the top 50 of like expert draft rankings or whatever. And somebody just hit him with the 2022 at the exact same time, right before the combine. Yep. And all the quarterbacks like Malik Willis and Sam Howell, fucking Matt Corral, who shared very similar fucking rankings in the expert composite ranks. And I'm like, imagine that. Never would have guessed. And what did we end up with that class? 1 Kenny Pickett in the, pick 21 or 22, 20, whatever the fuck. Yeah, who gives a shit? Like, nobody fucking cared. So we make these wild assumptions and it's like, shit does change. It does change. Mm-hmm. I just hate it when people speak with this, you know, iron fist, like this is it. This is my tight end 1. And it, like you said, they use those catchphrases like, you know, Tyler Warren's a top 2 tight end in this class and it ain't number 2. Right? You know, like whatever the fuck they say, right? Yeah. Or it's not even close, or it's by a mile, or I'd bet my mortgage on this, whatever the fuck they say. You know what I bet my mortgage on, Maddie? You know what I bet my mortgage on? A lot of these people that I have a problem with on fucking Twitter, if I got them into real leagues and I just put them with any Savage member, anybody in our Patreon in the Savage tier, which we talk about football and give advice and we go back and forth. And I said this in that fucking chat today. I don't always agree with our patrons. Like, they will fight me on stuff. And I love it. I love the disagreements, because that's what it's built upon. Like, I don't have the exact same process as every one of our Savage members. There's ones in there that draft, like, almost strictly win now teams every time they do a startup. And I'm like, come on, man. Don't you want to tear down? Don't you want to play for 2027, right? Don't you want to have, like, all these firsts? And like, fuck no, I'm in it to win it. I get it. Like, I don't agree with it. But what I would bet my mortgage on is I can take 90% of these fucking people I see on Twitter with big followings who are mm-hmm. so-called dynasty experts, I'd put my mortgage on the one dude from the Savage tier, even if I don't fucking agree with their entire process, because they're more enlightened. They're more passionate about the game. They pay more attention to the game. They actually have a process that they believe in, and it's paid off for them time and time again. A lot of these fucks out here, like they may have won their home league against Johnny from fucking Indiana at one point. Like, they may have bent him over in a trade.
He's pretty good at fantasy.
Whoever the fuck it is, right? Fucking Steve from, you know, St. Petersburg. Or oh, whoever the fuck.
Steve sucks. Steve sucks.
But they took advantage of him one time and set their team up, and they're like, yeah, I'm a dynasty expert now. I just put out mm-hmm. a lot of engagement tweets. Fuck you, buddy. Fuck you.
Speaking I played against these savages in a number of drafts at the, you know, at the in Canton. We drafted against each other, a bunch of dynasty leagues against these savages. They're
tough.
I would put my mortgage that they'd beat a lot of these cockamamie engagement farmers. And that will, one last red flag that you have to stay away from: anyone who makes a proclamation on a player's dynasty ranks are complete full of shit. Avoid it like the plague. Let's just say Tyler Warren does melt faces athletically. Yep. And someone goes out, dynasty tight end one. Instant ignore. Instant ignore. Because what we always end up finding is when the bullets are flying in the season, the old guys can still ball. They can still play. You know, so when you hear like, oh, I think I'm taking Ashton Jeanty over Jahmyr Gibbs, dynasty running back two. It's like, nope, I don't think you're ready there. That seems like you're putting the cart before the horse. Avoid those tweets. Anything that is said in that tweet or in that take on their show, just hit the mute button. It's just exactly what you said. It's engagement farming at its absolute worst.
We're going to see some wild stuff here at the Combine. But Maddie, I wanted to touch on a few ones. We talked a little bit about strategy and what to take away. I mean, there is some strategy with the Combine in your leagues if you're a grinder, right? Trying to capitalize on value. I mean, it's a specific situation. Generally, my advice for people during this time, take in the information, take some time to process it. We're in no rush. I mean, how many people are having rookie drafts, you know, right after the Combine? Not very many, right? We're a bunch of fucking sickos in a lot of our leagues. And, you know, the beginning of April, we'll start kicking off rookie drafts, right? Where put your fucking nuts on. That was one of the reasons I love doing pre-NFL rookie drafts, is because you have all these wild takes and proclamations.
Yes.
And then when I make you put your nuts on the table and actually have to select these players without NFL draft capital, you see how many people turtle the fuck up and are like, anyone want this pick? I'd love to trade to 2026. I'd love to get a vet. Like, I'd love, fuck out of here. I don't want to make this pick. I'm scared as shit. I love that. Like, have the stones to put your nuts on the table. Have the stones to be like me at times and take way too many Matt Corrals and fucking Sam Howells and just burn your entire fucking dynasty team to the ground because you're like, ain't no way this guy misses. Yeah. Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. It's fun. It's fun. But in the same sense, it's also fun when you do have convictions on later round prospects. This is always why I'm a big proponent of pre-NFL rookie drafts, not only for the aspect of getting kicked in the fucking teeth, but there's also guys like Sam Laporta that, you know, at one point he's dynasty tight end one after his fucking rookie year, right? Mm-hmm. Sam Laporta's value's through the roof, and we know how his rookie season went. There was a time in pre-NFL rookie draft, post-combine, doing his beginning of April, Sam Laporta's a third or a fourth round rookie pick, right? Like, imagine hitting that one, right? Like, which I did, by the way, to toot my own fucking horn, because in Iowa, tight ends I trust, which is, again, a reminder for you people, please stop disrespecting Luke Lachey. I'm really looking at Dynasty Barry and Eric, because a little plug here. Our rookie draft guide went fucking live on Monday, Maddie.
Yes, sir.
And I sat down. One of the things that didn't make it in the initial release, but is coming really, really soon. Really, really soon. My synopsis of the rookie class and also our rookie ranks from the South Harmon community. So I went in and I did my overall ranks in addition to my position ranks for rookies. And I'm sitting there, Maddie, last night, and I'm trying to find my boy Luke Lachey so I could properly rank him in my overall Superflex rookie ranks. And lo and behold, on the average, which it was sorted by the average of everybody else in there, this motherfucker is in the low 50s. the low 50s. So
he's
I'm like,
that high.
I was like, why the fuck is he down here so low? I look over and DB's got him at like 48. Eric doesn't even rank the motherfucker. And I'm like, you guys, I think this is a personal shot against me. Like, I think you guys are trying to get me. Well, fuck you. Fuck you. I'm ranking him properly. So this is your reminder that Luke Lachey is that dude at tight end. All right? Matty out. Clear tight end one. Tight end one in Dynasty. What it was the other superlative? It's not even close. It's not even close. So whatever the fuck they say, but
I'll tell you what, he's a top three Dynasty tight end. It ain't two or three.
Eight, two or three. There you go. DraftGuide25.com, or you can go to the SouthHarmonFF.com website. Copy one today. The draft guide will be updated again real shortly with ranks. It will be updated with combine numbers here, and it's also going to have my rookie synopsis, which I'm also going to make that a living, breathing thing, right? And one of the cool things that I talked to Koopa about, Koopa had a big hand in it. Dynasty Barry had a big hand in it. You, Adam, the whole fucking South Harmon team have been grinding their ass off for this thing. One of the cool things is we're not deleting it. We're not deleting old content when new news comes, right? We're not going to delete the old guys. You will have access to all the versions. You can be like, wow. Mike really fucked up on his Luke Lachey evaluation. He did the write-up for this, and look how fucking bad it was. So everything will be living and breathing, but you can make fun of us for all of our shitty pre-combine takes. But it's going to go throughout the entire process. It is out. It is live now. What do we got? 54 players that we have write-ups on?
Yep.
We may be adding to that with the combine this week, too. There's going to be some fucking wide receiver out there where, like, you go out and you see he actually did run fast. Did jump high, and then I'm gonna go look at his production in college and go, why the fuck didn't we who the fuck is this guy? Like, it's why the fuck isn't he on anyone's radar, right? There's gonna be a running back, there's gonna be a tight end. I highly doubt there's gonna be a quarterback that we missed. It usually doesn't happen that way. Maybe that fucking kid from Canada. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe, but go get you a draft guide now. And if you're a member of the Patreon in Savage tier, this comes out. You got one more day. Go to the giveaways channel. I am going to give away 3 rookie draft guides for free to Savage members. Ooh. There's a giveaway button. All you got to do is hit it. So can't tell you enough. It's a perfect time to be in the Patreon. It's a perfect time to get a rookie guide. Patreon.com/South Harmon. I will, Matty, probably tomorrow night. So as this releases Wednesday morning, by tomorrow night, look, we will have a tier. We will have a tier on the Patreon where if you want to cop the rookie guide and have access to DB's Barry's grades, which big fucking shining star in this whole rookie process that we're doing in the draft guide, and you want to look at them all and you want to look at historical comparisons, you will get access to the tier and you will get the rookie guide all for one nice price of $15.
$15.
All right, buddy. So I say all that to segue to the next one. Is there anybody at the combine that you are like locked in that you really want to see? Like, do you really want to see how they perform, whether it's in a drill, whether it's their athletic testing, their measurements, which is also a big thing, or it could be a health related thing. I mean, we have a lot of players every single year from college who balled their ass off, may have had great stats, but suffered a devastating injury, a season ending injury. And we need a little bit more clarity on how the NFL doctors are feeling during these medical evaluations.
For me, honestly, I think I can't really go much further in my list than Caleb Johnson, because for me, I have 5 running backs that I feel very confident come off the board within the first 40, 45 picks. Caleb Johnson's firmly in there, but if he comes out and he weighs 225, and runs as fast as, you know, many expect, he's going to be knocking on that door to be that potential RB2 coming off the board. He's that talented. And, of course, you know Marion Hampton, Trayvon Henderson, they're going to have something to say about that. But for Caleb Johnson especially, because he wasn't the name coming into this NCAA season like Quinshon Judkins, Marion Hampton, Trayvon, Ashton Ginty, he's kind of put himself on the scene, and if he comes in as big and as athletic as we all kind of expect after watching him at Iowa tear it up for over 1,500 rushing yards last year, now I'm going to not only put them in this tier, but the next tier will be about a mile away. Did I do that right? Am I doing this right?
I think so. I will piggyback off that. There's a ton of running backs that I'm very interested to see how they athletically test, right? There is, and I say this because there's a lot of big boys in this class.
Yeah. You know, weights are going to be very exciting to see too.
I mean, I'm much bigger than these big boys, but as a a super granddad fucking fatty, I guess, tier hefty that I'm boys. In.
We're just a couple of hefty boys.
I want to see the big running backs make a comeback. Like, I want to see them go out and test, and I want to see how athletic they actually are, right? It harkens back to my, like, old school days, you know, the Natron Means of the world, right? Oh, with the black visor. Yeah, the Michael Carters, Michael the Burner. Michael Burner, Michael Turner, whatever the fuck his nickname was. Like, I want to see these, you know, Christian Okoye, the Nigerian Nightmare. Like, I want to see these types of running backs make a big splash back. We've got some already in the NFL, like, and some of the best we've ever seen. Saquon Barkley and Jonathan Taylor, you know, these size speed freaks. Derrick Henry still out there doing his thing. A lot of these big guys. We've gotten a lot more in the last couple of years to some of these 200-pounders who just scoot, right? Like the Aaron Jones types, the Jahmyr Gibbs, the Achans of the world. This is the year kind of the big, hefty, bruising running back. And if some of these guys go out and absolutely just smash at the combine and they run fast and jump high and they look fluid in the receiving drills that they go out onto the field to do, there's going to be some real fucking excitement around them. There's going to be real excitement and some real tough dynasty decisions being made, because my dynasty process brain says they're running backs and they usually have a short shelf life, and we see this, and I know last year they helped win us leagues, but was that just a one-off? Are we going to go back to, you know, wide receivers are king and still be king, and quarterbacks and super flex are king, and running backs are easily replaceable and the NFL treats them as such? We have the possibility for kind of the great reset at the running back market, right? These running backs have an opportunity coming into the league to be the great reset in the NFL market, right? There's a lot of guys here that have extreme amounts of talent and have put up ridiculous amounts of production. Could they be the ones to kind of break this mold of, shit, we don't really want to pay a running back $10 million a year and we don't want to give them a long-term contract? Could these be the next group of guys who kind of reset that for the entire position moving forward? I think that's a possibility. And it really starts at what they do at the combine. Like, if all these 230-pound running backs go out and run 4.6s, 4.7s, nobody gives a shit. There's not a single person out there. I don't give a fuck what their production are. We just go, all right, well, maybe at the next level. Like, maybe they'll get a roll. But if you get a 230-pound-ish running back who goes out and runs a 4.3, you don't think NFL teams are going to fucking sit the fuck up? Bill Belichick will have out, you know, if he was there at the combine. Yeah, if he was at the combine, you know, he'd have the binoculars really zooming in. They're going to do it. So there's a lot of guys at the running back position, and a couple of guys that I wanted to highlight. Devin Neal's going to be one. Ollie Gordon's going to be one to see how they do. But kind of off the radar, I wanted to give you one that I'm a little bit interested in. I'm going to fuck up his name. I promise you, until I hear it enough over and over through this draft cycle, until I watch enough tape on him, with a little bit of announcers in there to properly tell me how his name's pronounced. But Bashaul Tutin out of Virginia Tech.
I think you said that pretty damn well.
I'm trying my best. The kid out there, in the little bit that I've watched him, it's probably the number. It's probably the speed. It's probably the burst. He's not the biggest guy. The size, he looks like he's a 200-pounder, maybe 205.
He's listed at 211.
Okay, he might be a little bit bigger. That's another one that you want to see when he measures in, like what he actually comes at. The one thing I can say is this motherfucker can fly. Like, he can fly. He looks like he goes out and he runs a 4.3, just rolls out of bed and is like, I'm gone. See ya. These are the kind of running back prospects that I'm interested in, too. Some of these more off-the-radar ones, can they generate enough buzz? Can they generate enough hype? If he goes out and he does run a 4.3, and he is 205, 210, you know, 212, bulks up, whatever, jumps well, and then kills it in the running back drills and looks fluid in the receiving drills. This could be one of these guys that, you know, in a lot of people's dynasty ranks right now, in the rookie ranks, is outside the top 10, that all of a sudden, maybe in a few weeks, with enough little buzz generated around him, we're like, could he be a third round pick? Could he surprise us and be a second round pick? Like, the possibilities become pretty endless for some of these guys. So there's a lot of these running backs I'm very interested in. There's also going to be a lot of disappointments, right? At this time last year, I was real excited about Audric Estime. Loved his tape, you know, loved the size, love his build. He's got some menacing pictures of just being rocked up and ripped. Guy comes out and runs a 4.7 or whatever the fuck he ran. Wah, wah, wah. Sad trombone, all right? Now you're in a bucket of shit I don't really care about. Sorry. Just don't like it. Same thing, right or wrong. For the most part, these undersized running backs who don't kill it at the combine and the athletic testing, I usually avoid. Now, for every time there's a Kyren Williams and a Bucky Irving that's been right, there's also about 70 motherfuckers you ain't never heard of.
Dylan Lobby, anybody? Yeah.
There's a lot of these guys who don't do shit. So running back testing, I will say this, and Adam and I did a podcast on this a while ago. There's certain things at the combine that I actually do care about, and in certain positions that I actually care about more. Running back athletic testing is still one of those things that I still do hang my hat on quite a bit. Tight end testing, running back testing, wide receiver somewhat, as long as you're not out there running like, you know, fucking Keon Coleman, you know, 4.68 or whatever the fuck that was, right, and just completely tanking your stock.
Just running faster.
Yeah. I don't put too much stock into the wide receiver testing as I do the running backs, because listen, one of the things in fantasy I have learned, I'm not the greatest with analytics and data, but I trust people that are. Speed score at the running back position is still a pretty goddamn good indicator of NFL fantasy success at the next level. Just is. And it continued to will be, right? You name me one of those side speed freaks who didn't have a ridiculous season on their resume. Even Nile Davis, who only had one, goes out at 230 pounds and runs a fucking 4.3. That motherfucker still had a season. He just so happened to have 19 ACL injuries by the time he actually really got going in the NFL. But Saquon's killed it. Jonathan Taylor's been nothing but everything you wanted. Breece Hall, etc. The list goes on and on. Even Antonio Gibson, who Ron Rivera fucking hated forever, still gave you two pretty good goddamn fucking seasons at the running back position. Still, not bad for a wide receiver.
Yeah. I mean, last year, too, we saw Tyrone Tracy, Isaac Rowendo. These were guys with size, surprised with their athleticism. It translated. It does translate. I attended the combine, so I saw it firsthand for the first time. There's a lot of excitement, a lot of buzz for running back. And this isn't just the fans. This is, you know, the people that matter, the scouts, the team personnel. A lot of note-taking during the athletic testing for running backs and on-field drills for the receivers. Not so much the speed, not so much the jumping and running, but how well do these guys run routes, the gauntlet, running that straight line, showing good hands, concentration, MPH during the gauntlet. Those matter a hell of a lot more than the testing side of it. So if you can only watch a couple things, running back 40s and then the on-field drills for the receivers.
The tight ends, man, I don't know if it's good or bad. I've been a pretty big, chain to the RAS score, which has been a pretty good indicator. And I don't really see any reasons not to be, other than the fact I think I really started to factor in production right to it. Like, there's been too many, who's the fucking Jets guy, tight end?
Kuntz.
Zach Kuntz. That's fucking the Old Dominion, right?
Old Dominion broke the RAS score. Jelani Woods. The RAS score needs to be a separate tight end developed RAS score that involves something other than athleticism, because production. They're all big and fast. And production. I think you're right. I think it's production.
Like, can you actually produce, right? Luke Musgrave, RAS God, like another one. Couldn't produce as the best athlete on the fucking field at Oregon State. Right. Red flag. Big red flag, right? I don't know what the fuck Zach Kuntz did at Old Dominion, but it's Old Dominion. I honestly ask you, Maddie, do you even know where Old Dominion is located in the country? I'm guessing on the East Coast.
There's a country band named Old Dominion, so I'm guessing the South. Tennessee?
I wonder if I type in Old Dominion, if that is even the first thing that comes up, or it just comes up with the band.
Yeah.
Nope, probably it's the band.
I would imagine it's the band.
Sorry to the Old Dominion College. It is in Norfolk, Virginia.
Okay. Whoa, that's not exactly. I was thinking more you know, country glamour than that, but maybe not.
I like to, like, you know how Google sometimes will give you, like, the people's ask section?
Yeah.
Like, the most popular questions related to whatever you searched in Google. The very first one is ODU a white school? Jesus Christ. All right. I do think production, you know, your sample size of who you played, your level of competition, that all going to factor into the tight end. I will say this for Raz, probably the easiest one, though. If you can't do it as a Raz tight end at the combine, right, I can love your production. I can love your competition. If your Raz is absolute dog shit, I'm just going to put you into this bucket where if you do produce at the NFL level at some point, like you surprise, like you're the Jason Witten, right?
Right.
You're not a great athlete, but you're just peppered to fuck with targets, right? You're out there producing. At some point, you're going to be in a bucket until you actually start producing where I go, okay, now I'm interested. Now let me buy into. Now that things are more clear, let me buy into. I think probably the Raz thing, though, I got a little bit too over my skis when it was like, I got to draft Zach Kuntz everywhere in the fifth round. Like, I can't leave a draft without Zach. Yes, I can. Yes, I fucking can. I don't care what his Raz is. The NFL didn't even like him. Why the fuck do I like him? Okay. And if Zach Kuntz does something, then I can fucking buy back into Zach Kuntz. And trust me, it won't cost much more than the fifth that I paid already. Like when I see something I like. So don't take it for everything, but it is still a big piece of my tight end evaluation. So how they perform at the combine is going to matter at the tight end position. The one thing that is very constant, though, running backs, speed score, I touched on that. That's still very true. Huge. Is there anybody else that you're highly interested in watching? You know, I know we can just say all the running backs at this point, but is there any wide receivers, you know, maybe smaller school guys, maybe somebody not getting a whole lot of hype that you're kind of like, man, I hope he goes out and kills it. Or I hope like NFL teams really take notice of this guy's talent. Like this is kind of my guy at the position. Is there anybody like that that you're maybe rooting for this week during the combine?
I am definitely rooting for Harold Fannin. I hope, you know, he continues to show, like, he weighed at 230, I think it was like 238 when he went down to Mobile. I hope he can maintain that, maybe even get in the 240s, run fast enough, because he's going to have to overcome the lack of blocking, the lack of inline production at the next level, or perceived potential in those aspects at the next level. So he's going to have to wow in other regards. And we talked about Raz score. If he can come in the 240s, or at least right there at that 238, and can run quick, get that, you know, athleticism score up, I'm definitely going to be rooting for that as one of my favorite prospects in this class. And at the wide receiver position, we haven't talked a ton about the wide receivers. There are three names I'm going to bring up for a different variety of reasons. The first one being Travis Hunter. Already, we're hearing that the team with the number 2 overall pick views him as a primary wide receiver, the Cleveland Browns. He's listed as a cornerback, but we talked about this. Of what else was he going to be listed as? Like, he was a cornerback. Yeah. Of course he was going to come in as a cornerback. But if he runs the drills at wide receiver, whether it be in the main grouping or on the side for NFL evaluators, I'm going to be looking for that. I'm hoping for that because save us, Travis Hunter, because he is a massive, massive puzzle piece to this first half of the first round rookie draft, no matter the format. Like, do we feel confident with the 104? I don't know how confident I feel with that unless Travis Hunter can solidify. So I want to see that. Tet McMillan, I am souring on Tet McMillan. You put the poison pill in my brain. It's only grown. I'm having to talk myself out of making him my wide receiver 5 in this class, if I include Hunter. Because I just, now I'm starting to see the same warning signs that we saw for guys like N'Keal Harry, guys like Josh Doctson all those years ago, Kevin White, Quentin Johnson. His game looks better than that. But you're starting to see these little red flags. Like, he may not be the fastest guy, but he has sneaky speed. It's like, that just means he's not fast. Or he doesn't always get separation in the traditional sense, but he can catch those balls in 50-50 situations. Like, I don't know if I like guys who don't get separation. So I need to see if he's fast. If he comes out and runs like high 4.5s, I don't know. Because I do think Trey Harris is going to kill it. And the last wide receiver is Isaiah Bond. I have been so out on Isaiah Bond. But he is a former five-star receiver at Alabama, at Texas. If he does run in the low 4.4s, I mean the low 4.3s, he's going to have to skyrocket my ranks because unlike, you know, Xavier Worthy, who was the productive wide receiver, more well-rounded wide receiver, we all knew that he wasn't John Ross, right? Isaiah Bond could be 15, it depends on how he weighs in, could come in 15-ish pounds heavier, and if he runs a 4.33, that guy is going to get drafted in the first probably top 50 picks, 65 picks at the least. So he's going to have to skyrocket. So those are the three guys for different reasons. Travis Hunter, McMillan, Isaiah Bond. I want to see how these guys test. Or
with the Travis Hunter one, I'm very intrigued if he does do wide receiver drills at the combine. Because there'll be a lot of I told you so, shut the fuck up, right? A lot of victory lapping for me, right? Based on last week's podcast. Tent McMillan, I think, is one of those, you're right, he's kind of on the danger influx point. And in reality, I'm not completely out on Tet, right? Like, I don't want people to think that I fucking hate him. I think he's a very good, somewhere in the 20s type NFL draft capital wide receiver with the possibility of refining a little bit more and becoming better at the next level. I just don't think he's all that he's hyped up to be. Now, best case scenario for me, who's somebody who has Tet question marks, Matty, is for Tet to go out and absolutely just fucking destroy the combine. Go out and
Ryan Thomas,
go out and run, you know, a 4.4, 4.45, something in that range, jump, you know, 38, 39, 40 inches, look ridiculous and make some of those highlight catches and the receiver drills, you know, those one-handed stuff. Like, that would be perfect. Bring the hype back, right? Let people bring it back so strategically I can go, I have some red flags about him, I'm a little bit concerned. If you want to take him at the 102 in the rookie draft, by all means, I'm more than willing to trade back. Like, I'm more than willing to make my bet somewhere else. I think that would be best case scenario. The worst case, and I know a lot of people would be like, well, you're kind of a Tet detractor or Tet hater. Like, you'd love to see him fail at the combine. No, that'd be fucking miserable. Because then there'd be more people that I'm not able to exploit, right? There'd be more people with question marks that I'm not able to exploit. So I think that's a very good one. And I love the Isaiah Bond thing, Matty. There's a lot of people who have question marks about Isaiah Bond. And this is why I specifically chose to do him in the write-up. And I'm going to put people on a little free game. A little free game on the draft guide. Just give you a taste. I watched a lot of Isaiah Bond film, and I came away pretty impressed. Now, impressed relative to how the community sentiment is on him right now, right? A lot of people kind of have him as a cast-off, a write-off. We know he's fast, but he doesn't do shit else, right? Like, that's kind of John Ross or, you know, Henry Ruggs without the Alabama on his helmet, right? Like, this kind of...
Well, he used to have Alabama on his helmet.
He used to have Alabama. This one's just fucking nuts. Here's my Isaiah Bond scouting report and the write-up for the draft guide. Elite speed and acceleration. I don't think that's fucking hot takey at all. He is very fast and he is very quick. He accelerates like nothing. Like, just, it's so easy for him. I'm jealous of how fast he runs. I wish I could have been that fast. Wish. Route agility. I think this is another thing. Like, when I look at speed wide receivers, a lot of these guys just don't have enough wiggle. Like, their hips don't look very fluid. They always look like robots. I can run really fast in a straight line, but if you ask me to turn, I'm going to tip the fuck over.
Want to do some of that elasticity in the joints there.
He's got enough wiggle in his route running to keep defenders off balance, complementing his raw speed, right? Like, him stopping and hitting a hitch. And this is one of the things. We had Trey Harris film night last Thursday. Again, patreon.com/SouthHarmon if you want to get involved in these. We watched Trey Harris, and I came away very impressed with Trey Harris, but the one thing I can clearly say, the guy fucking sucks at running hitch routes. Like, he's got very good speed. I think he's got enough wiggle. He's good after the catch. I like his aggressiveness and the arrogance of thinking every ball is his. But when I watch him run a hitch route, it's painful. It hurts. It's like, dude, I think I can make that hitch route cut. So, like, I could sell that shit better than you can. Like, he is very tight at times. Not with Isaiah Bond. He's got that little bit of wiggle.
when he runs a hitch route, you don't know if it's going to be a double move. Like, can he hit the hitch route, make the spin real quick, and all of a sudden he's fucking 5 yards behind you and you're cooked. Like, he can do that. He's got enough wiggle. Yak ability. For a guy, he's listed at 180 pounds, but he looks very thick. Like, he kind of reminds me of that Russell Wilson build where you're like, man, Russ ain't a big guy, but, like, he's put together. He's a girthy boy. He feels real girthy. He looks girthy. And he runs.
When you see Russ play on the base, he sometimes plays, like, in spring training games.
Yeah.
With baseball players, and you're like, who is that gargantuan? It's like, that's Russell Wilson. Like, oh, no shit.
He's got a nice frame to him, and he shows that off when he runs with the ball after the catch. He's not like Tyler Lockett. You know, we think of Tyler Lockett, catch the ball. Oh, shit, there's one guy looking at me. Fall down real quick. I don't want to get hit. Isaiah Bond's kind of got that arrogance, like, I'm going to try to make this guy miss, and I might just run through his fucking chest. You know, I'm only listed at 180, but I got the frame to do it, and he does it really well. And the other thing that's a big red flag that is not for him, like, this is a strength. He's a hands catcher. A lot of these speed guys want to, you know, the ball gets into their body and it bounces off their fucking chest. I watch him pluck the ball out of air. Like, he plucks the ball out of the air. Now, it's not without weaknesses. He's got a smaller frame, probably 5'10", 5'11", at best. He doesn't look like he has those Brandon Ayuk arms. Like, you know, Brandon Ayuk looked like when he stand, he could touch his ankles with his arms, right? Yeah. So that makes his catch radius not the greatest. Tyreek Hill has a lot of the same limitations, but Tyreek Hill also is very aggressive, and you see Tyreek Hill jump up and try to, like, moss people all the time. Isaiah Bond, I didn't really see him try to do that. Right. He's like, either I'm open, you put the ball within my vicinity, like, you put a good ball on me, or it's probably going incomplete. He doesn't have a ridiculous catch radius. His route timing, which he's still a little bit raw at, he wants to win everything with speed. You need to see him show a little bit more pace at times. Right? Like, you need to show him setting up and varying his route speed instead of just being 100% all the time. I need to see you go 80% and then accelerate like you can and really, like, throw the DB off, right? You almost lull him to sleep if you can vary your route speeds. And his production was very inconsistent, right? Like, he got outclassed at times at different schools and different stops by some subpar wide receivers who don't have his talent. He wasn't always the focal point of the offense. Like, there was times he disappeared. So he kind of has a little bit of inconsistent production profile. But I say all that to say, if he goes out and produces really good numbers at the NFL Combine, with his abilities that he already has, he's probably getting NFL draft capital that we need to pay attention to.
Yeah.
And not a lot of people in the dynasty space really like him. So you're looking at a guy who's maybe at best a mid-second round pick right now for a lot of people in their ranks. Even if he goes out and blazes at the combine, they're like, oh, we already knew he was fast, Mike. There's a lot more to his game.
You hear a lot of that, yeah.
There's a lot more to his game. I think probably the best thing, if you're a little bit of an Isaiah Bond truther or you're interested in Isaiah Bond, not so much the athletic testing, see how he performs when he's out there running routes, and you'll see how actually fluid it is. He looks like a legitimate wide receiver and not fucking John Ross or Tavon Austin, right? Like, he's not those guys. He's not the, oh man, who is the Jacoby Ford? I'm going way back in time.
Okay, yes, that's a good pull.
not one of those guys. Like, he's got some wiggle to him. He can be a very good Z receiver at the NFL level. Stop comparing everybody to fucking Tyreek Hill, because there's only one Tyreek Hill. Right, and he's not Devontae Smith, and he's not Xavier Worthy as far as talent, but he can be a very productive Z at the next level. And for some guy that's only going to cost you at best an early second, that's somebody I'm kind of in on, because I do believe the NFL is going to be on him for one thing: motherfucker runs fast. But there's more to build on. So there's the sneak peek to the South Harmon draft guide, and why I was so passionate to select Isaiah Bond. I wasn't going to let anybody besmirch the good name of Isaiah Bond.
I'm glad
hot takey, he's better than Matthew Golden by a mile.
It's not even close, Mike.
I bet my mortgage on it.
New dynasty wide receiver 10.
Jesus Christ. No, those are kind of my interesting ones, man. There's some wide receivers. There's also going to be some smaller school guys, some dudes who are injured that I'm kind of disappointed we don't get to see. You know, I'm not going to get a chance to defend Torrey Horton. I'm not going to get a chance to put that out there. And then the other one, because of the legal situation, for those of you who don't know, I'm kind of a Kyron Lacy fan, Maddie, and we're not going to get to see him at the Combine, right? Because of his investigation and pending, you know, could have caused a fatal car accident. You know, a lot of people jump and say, like, it's the Georgia situation or whatever the fuck it is. We don't know the facts. His lawyer came out today, too, and said, like, you know, adamantly that he had nothing to do with it. It wasn't his fault. You know, mm-hmm. he just happened to be there, and that's why he was arrested post-fact, because he left the scene, even though he didn't cause the accident. There's a lot of stuff behind the scenes that, you know, he could be vindicated for, but I was really hoping to see him out there. I thought that was a guy that was going to go out and surprise us with athletic testing, and I think he's one of those nice type of wide receivers, kind of like Khalil Shakir and Rashee Rice, where, like, people kind of dunked on him a little bit, but you get the ball in their hands, and they're pretty fucking special. So those are my what to watch for at the NFL Scouting Combine. And I'll give you one more bonus one, Maddie. Okay. I don't know if it's going to happen, and I imagine it probably wouldn't. But anytime Cam Ward throws the fucking football, man, I want to watch it. So, God, I hope he throws at the Combine. I really does. Not for his NFL draft stock, but just because it's a thing of beauty. Watching him spin that fucking rock is just, it's a thing of beauty, man. It's just so effortless. That arm, it's not Joe Milton. It's not Joe Milton, but it's pretty fucking close. It's pretty close to me. Like, watching the effortless ability for him to sling that pigskin. So any added bonus I can get of watching Cam Ward throw the ball, like, I want to take it. I want to take it. So
he's a dog, too. He might throw.
I hope so, man. He's
a bit of a dog.
That clip that keeps going around has been going around for a while, with him going back and forth with Shador in the offseason.
Multiple times there's clips of him talking shit.
You're talking shit to Shador. Awesome. Like, I got better today. What'd you do? You ain't do shit.
Yeah, you ain't get better today. Talking about his watch. Like, there's some fucking funny-ass clips.
I hope, because he's such a fucking dog. Like, I know the agent is probably getting in his ear, and his representation's getting in his ear. Like, you don't have to throw. Like, you're solidified, kind of like Shador. But I hope he's such a dog. He's like, man, fuck y'all. I'm going to go out here and show you I'm him. I'm him.
If you look at the guys who are throwing, he does have a chance to come out and wow. Like, yes. He really does. Because he's going to throw better than Gabriel, even though Gabriel has a decent arm. I think Cam Ward would really kind of show out at a competition, like a chance to compete, like at the combine. We'll see, though.
He's a bunch of other quarterbacks who are actually throwing at the combine, who are fighting to get recognition at the NFL level, mm-hmm. who I can honestly say don't have a puncher's chance in hell, you know, with their arm talent. Like, they're not going to go out and wow anybody with, like, oh shit, look at how far Quinn Ewers could throw the ball. Like, right. That is his biggest right. question mark, is his arm strength. And it always has been for him. Dylan Gabriel, I know there was reports of a 90 mile an hour at the Senior Bowl. Like, that was mostly bullshit.
whatever, you know, thing, that equation that they were using.
Yeah, what the fuck?
They had it like 10 miles per hour higher than Josh Allen and Joe Milton. Get the fuck out of here.
Just hope to God that whatever cop sitting on the middle of the road isn't using that same radar calibration, all right? Because we're all getting fucking tickets. We're all getting our license taken away. And Jackson Dartie's got a fine arm, but definitely, like, his arm strength deep ball isn't the greatest. He can spin it in the intermediate areas, but he's not going to wow you with, wow, what a cannon. What an absolute laser. So
right.
Cam Ward, you're right, does have that ability to go out there and just, like, the big dick in the locker room approach. Just, here you go, boys.
Larry Bird, who's coming in second, boys?
I'm here. Yeah. Which I'd love to see. I don't know if we're going to get it, but I hope you're right, man. I hope he's such a fucking dog. He's like, I'm doing it. Guys, kiss my ass. Kiss my ass. I'm
getting
doing
too
it.
Much hype on these bums.
People mention in the same breath as me. Fuck out of here.
Yeah.
I want that kind of attitude. I want that dog mentality. Anything else about the combine before we get out of here, Maddie? Anything else you wanted to bring up?
I think we kind of touched upon it throughout the episode. Enjoy it. Take in the information. Don't react to it. Don't make any hasty decisions. Don't throw your rankings in the trash and start over. Just enjoy the festivities. Get the information and marinate in it for a little while before making any type of reactionary moves in any of your leagues.
I love that summary. One more thing I'll add to it. How the fuck are we at Tuesday night if we still don't have NFL combine props out there, man? Like, this is how I pay mortgage around here, man.
Oh, my God.
It's just the free money.
This is one thing that the blowhards in the fantasy industry were not lying about. You could clean the fuck up. Last year was the first time I jumped in it, and I didn't even do well in comparison to, like, the guys I was with, Cody and Alex. They fucking paid for their vacations off of these winnings. But still, I still came away with a cool, like, $300. It was nice. But they are tiptoeing in their Jordans this year, brother. They are not fucking around.
It may be because of everybody just taking advantage of them for
I will
years.
Say this too. Everyone who was tweeting it out, calling, like, the actual fantasy platforms bums, and what were you fucking thinking? Why did you ruin this for everyone? We could have got a couple more years out of it.
Yeah. Why'd you have to ruin a good thing?
100,000 followers on X being like, look at these morons and the props they put out, these fucking retards. It's like,
they're giving us free money.
For once.
I always like there was always like some running back out there who we have like game speed data running like 22, 23 miles an hour, and that their over under on their 40 time is like a 4.6.
Yeah.
Unless this motherfucker tears his ACL midway through the run.
Which has happened. Dudes pull up lame and they don't run.
Well, I mean, we've also seen guys go out and run so fast that their dick falls out of their fucking shorts. What up, Chris Jones?
last year had Nate. Remember Nate Wiggins, Clemson cornerback, got drafted first round of the Ravens. They had him listed at like a 4.41.
No.
And I asked him during his media scrum. I was like, "Hey, some of these sports books got you at a 4.4. What do you say about that?" He just laughed. He goes, "Bet the under." And we were like, "Done."
Hey, baby, don't get mad, but I'm about to double our mortgage here for the month. All right?
You want
to
go to Italy or Paris?
Got this. This is a lock. But they do the same thing with some guys that are like, oh, this feels like a 4-5 guy on film, and they got him listed at like a 4.38.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What, are we doing this outside with a 300-mile-an-hour wind at their back? No fucking way.
Was this their pro day?
Will we change this to the 30-yard dash? Not gonna happen. Yeah. We appreciate everybody tuning in. Go check out the draft guide. If you could do us a big favor, if you like the podcast, please rate and review it, Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast at. Share it with your friends, share it with your league mates, unless you don't want them to possibly beat you. Either way, it makes for a much more fun league if they're not all listening to the 60,000 follower idiots who have Tyler Warren ranked at number 3 overall in the rookie superflex, right?
By a mile.
But I digress. Like Maddie said, don't go chasing waterfalls. Enjoy the outro. We love y'all. We'll see you back here same time, same place next week. We're out of this thing. Peace.
A lonely mother gazing out of the window, staring at a sun that she just can't touch. If at any time he's in the jam, she'll be by his side. But he doesn't realize he hurts. Keep yourself out of trouble. So it goes.
today. But too many storms have come and gone, leaving a trace of not one God given ray. Is it because my life is in shades of gray? I pray all ten fade away, sell the praise and for the 7 days. And like his promise is true, only my faith can undo the many chances I blew to bring my life to an end. Clear blue and unconditional skies have dried the tears from my eyes, no one lonely cries. My only leading hope is for the folk who can't cope with such an enduring pain that it keeps them in the pouring rain. Who's to blame for tuning in into your own vein? What a shame you're shooting aim for someone else's brain. You claim the insane and aim to stay in time for falling prey to crime. I say the system got you victim to your own mind. Dreams are hopeless aspirations and hopes are coming true. Believe in yourself, the rest is up to me.
Yeah. Go, go, go.